Hello and welcome to episode number 41 of Investing from the Beach. I'm your host, I'm Chris Hansen. I've got my co-host with me today, Mr. Chris Lamb.
Hey guys, it's Chris Lamb here.
And this is our probably the third time doing the intro because the first couple times I said it, hello, welcome to Investing from your bedroom. I'm playing around here. Anyway, if you're new to the show, quick background on the two of us. We both worked at IBM. I've got Chris by about 18 years. As he was joining, I was leaving. I hit time freedom via the stock market when I was about 40. Chris came in as an intern my last 2-3 years at IBM. We developed a great friendship, went and learned the stock market kind of separately and together, and got to the point where he reached time freedom when he was 30. So he's 10 years smarter than I am. And what else? Over the years, we've had dozens and dozens and dozens of discussions. In fact, we had a long one tonight before we hit the record button about what it takes to achieve time freedom.
And I'm going to correct you there, not smarter, just I had a good example to follow.
Oh, there you go. All right. Well, either way, you got there 10 years before I did.
You get to learn from experience, or you get to learn from watching.
That's true. I mean, yeah. And there's a huge amount of wisdom in that you avoid the mistakes that somebody else made. If they tell you don't do this and here's why, there's no need to prove to yourself that it's not going to work. Just trust that the guy's, what he's telling you is good.
And sometimes you need to prove it to yourself, but you know, do it fast.
You do it fast. You just do it once. You know, it took me 14 times to learn it. I don't have to tell you once or tell you twice. First time you that's what you meant, and you won't do it again.
Yeah, so thank you.
No problem. So we've had, as you can tell, we have countless discussions about what it took to get to time freedom. Most people focus on the how to do, which is the rules, the cookbook, the mechanics, the what have you. And what we've realized is that that's an incredibly small portion of what it takes to get to time freedom. The bigger component of that is how to think. And that's the purpose of this podcast. That's what we talk about both in this episodes and in prior ones. So today, what do we want to chatter about? I think we had, get my levels right here. What we had on our discussion thing, and I don't really know what to label this thing. I refer to it as the crab pot mentality. It's not crackpot, but crab pot mentality.
Yeah, I think that's what you said when you first said it.
Yeah, I said crab pot. You went crack pot. Who are you talking about?
Yeah, and this is the new term for me. I've never heard of the crab pot.
So do you want to explain it then? You want me to explain it since it's brand new? We'll see. When I said it, what did you
think?
It's
better that you explain it.
When I first said it, what did you think?
I wasn't sure. I just, something crab. I guess we were talking about, I guess the content or the mindset, right? Mm-hmm. So when you mentioned crab pot, I thought it had to do something with that. But I've never heard it before.
So the idea on the crab pot, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it gets used quite a bit. The thinking is, if you put a bunch of crabs in a pot that are alive and one of them tries to escape, the others will reach up and pull him back down. And apparently, if you put the crab in the pot by himself, he can get out on his own. But when you put more than one in there, as one tries to escape, the other ones will pull him back in. And so it's used as is it an allegory, a metaphor, an analogy, something that's similar
it's one of those.
To... Yeah, it's one of those words, whatever it is. That's one of those things that you probably should have learned, that I probably should have paid attention to in school, that really doesn't matter. But whatever term you want to call it, the idea is it's when people pull you down. And they can pull you down either because they're envious, they're jealous, maybe it's competitive, I'm not sure. But there's a trait in human nature, if you will, to pull others back to their level. We did it. We talked about it in the episode a couple episodes ago, where we talked, you know, how to deal with stupid people. And the idea on that is a quote from Mark Twain, where he says, "Hey, don't argue with stupid people because they're going to pull you down to their level where they have a lot more experience." You know, human nature is to want to pull people down. You see it in kids. You see it in adults. Well, we were talking about this before. You've got a 2-year-old. Do you see it in her when she's out playing with her 2-year-old friends?
In what ways? Like,
you see it a little bit, don't you? It's kind of either from a sharing perspective,
mm-hmm.
or if one kid gets more than another one,
yeah,
you know, a bigger piece of cake or a bigger treat or a bigger whatever. does the other, at that age, do they start to go, hey, wait a minute?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They definitely get envious.
So you right? can.
So if they see, you know, if some kid has a toy and they don't have it, they'll be, hey, I kind of want that. Right. There's a natural feeling of, mm-hmm. hey, I want that too.
So there is something to be said that it's a little bit genetic. Mm-hmm. You hear about it in certain
genetic cultures. Or just human nature. It's natural. It's
natural.
There what you're go. Born. Most of us are kind of born with that.
Yep.
And it has to be learned to be different.
I think, although you hear about it in certain cultures, you hear that term used in the Black culture. I hear about it in the Filipino culture. I'm sure it exists in other cultures as well. And so while there may be some of it that is you're born with, I don't know if that means innate. I don't know what the right word is on that.
It's probably like a kind of survival of the fittest thing, you know, that's in the genetics of humans.
Could be that. But then some like, of it also, animals. It could also be learned then too. Because if correct. People talk about it from a cultural view, then that definitely says it's learned. So, and if I had to vote, I'd say, you know, I'm sure a piece of it is, I'd call it genetic, innate, whatever you're born with, part of just human mm-hmm. nature.
Yeah.
And then you might see it amplified based on cultural norms. So let me think, an example of crab pot mentality, just a real simple one. You might hear of somebody that has a really nice car, put it in the parking lot, and they come out and see their car has been keyed. So some bozo walked by, didn't like the fact that you had an incredibly nice car and decided to run their key up the side. Now, why would they do that? It's envy. They could be upset that somebody else is successful and just kind of acting out and kind of just saying like, F you, you know, for you flaunting your wealth and I drive away in my, you know, used Toyota Corolla. It's got a couple dents and missing a, you know, get a big old purple or what do you call it, a big Bondo spot on the mm-hmm. front fender.
They should switch cars, right? That's probably in their mind.
Something, but I mean, that's a simple example of it. One of the things.
Yeah, it exists. It exists around us all the time, and I think this is a topic that I guess we thought it was important or interesting to dive into.
Yeah, because you don't always realize it. Once you're aware of it, you see it a lot more. Sometimes you just become oblivious to it. But one of the things to keep in mind is if someone's trying to pull you down, just keep in mind that if they're trying to pull you down, that says they're already beneath you. And so if you find yourself being potentially dragged down by somebody who's trying to, you know, if you've done well at something and somebody is putting you down is the wrong word, but trying to, and not to run around and toot your own horn about your accomplishments. But if people are knocking it down either towards a goal that you're trying to achieve or something you already have achieved, right? Recognize they're behind you. And there could be some, whether it's envy or jealousness or competitiveness or something that's doing that. One of the things to think about then is that says that you want to be, and we've talked about this before, you want to be sure that you surround yourself with people that are, you know, if you picture your life as a boat, you want somebody that's in there that's pulling the oars for you. Or, you know, blowing wind in your sails. What you don't want to do is have a whole bunch of boat anchor types that are riding on your decks. And you're going to have some people that are just along for the ride. And they're not necessarily blowing wind in your sails, but they're definitely not dragging you down. And they're fine, at least for the time being. At some point, they're going to show their colors as to whether they're going to be, you know, somebody that's going to help you out or somebody that ends up being a boat anchor. But you want to be sure to surround yourself with people that are encouraging. Hugely important.
Did you always recognize, I guess, who are the boat anchors and who are the people that are supporting you when you're sailing? Or was that something that kind of you just kind of figure out throughout or learn throughout life and get better at doing it?
Yeah, I think, and when I look back, if I think back on the IBM days, I can think of a few people that were. I wouldn't have thought of them at the time as boat anchors, but if I could back up the clock 20, 25 years and get my opinion of person A or person B, I definitely would have said that they had more of a negative attitude and they weren't sabotaging your efforts to do things, but they certainly weren't behind you cheering you on. And so you get to see some people like that. You know, it's interesting. And then you'll see other people that have either working toward a level of success, working toward a goal and objective and accomplishment. And more often than not, they're going to cheer you on. You know, if you're both going for the same prize and there's only one prize, all right, the competitive juices kick in. But if you're not, if your competing doesn't hurt or harm them, there's that person usually will cheer you on.
Yeah, and it's not really like a cheering on as a like a cheerleader, but really just you being around that person, it does help your mentality or help
they help
what you're doing. You know, you
yeah, they make you better,
getting closer to your goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a I had my notes here, it's just and I hadn't thought of it. Excuse me, until we were kicking around various topics that we could include on this. And I remembered the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, film from, I don't know, it's probably been 10, 15 years ago now, but it starred Will Smith. And it's a true story of a guy who was living in San Francisco. I think it was during the 80s. I can't remember the guy's name. It was Chris. I cannot remember the guy's name, but it's based on his story. As it started out, he had a...
Was it Chris Carter or something?
No, not Carter. I'll think of it. I'm sure once we hit the record button and stop, it'll pop right in my head. But anyway, this guy was living in San Francisco, had a some kind of a crappy sales job, married, wife wasn't very highly paid, and they had a young kid. And because money was tight, they were feeling financial pressure. And they're probably one paycheck away from being homeless. And as the story goes, he was walking past some high-rise downtown San Francisco. And, you know, he's got a suit and tie and do whatever he was selling. And this guy pulls up on the street in a Ferrari and parks the car, and he walks right past Will Smith's character. And Will Smith looks at him, and he smiles at him like, man, that is a beautiful car. He said, what do you do? And the guy looked at him and he said, well, I'm a stockbroker. You know, it's interesting here. Will Smith could have taken the attitude of, you know, screw you. Why do you have the really nice car and I can't make my rent? But he took the other approach of, hey, you did it. What do you do? I'd like to get that. And the guy didn't discourage him at all. It was more of an encouraging. I'm a stockbroker. You know, look into it. And so the movie is based on the Will Smith character trying to do whatever he needs to do to get a job as a broker on Wall Street.
I remember that scene. I think, didn't he have him park his car or something?
Different. Yeah, it was a different scene.
Okay.
Yeah, different scenario, if you will. But what first got his attention about working at Wall Street was seeing this guy pulling up in the Ferrari.
Yeah.
And then it goes through the story of what it took for him to get there. You know, and as the story goes, he ended up being homeless for a little bit. And one of the key points to make is he ended up sleeping in the bathroom of a BART station. And if you've ever been in the bathroom of a BART station, it's not a place you really want to go just to walk in, let alone to have to sleep on the floor. But that shows the level that he fell to before he climbed back out. And today he's a well-known, although I can't remember his last name, but well-known finance guy on Wall Street. So ends up becoming very successful. But the point that I thought was great in the movie is here's the guy that started off with the Ferrari. And when he pulled up right in front of Will Smith, who's down and out, Smith could have taken the key out and tried to key his car. But instead...
If you think that BART restroom is bad... I don't think you've been to an Asian restaurant.
That's true, but that's not my tax dollars that are paying for it.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that's why they only demand cash.
Yeah.
Well, they won't take credit cards. Go, hey, we don't have enough money to, yeah, you know, to clean the bathroom.
Yeah, just preparing you just in case you want to go to Vietnam. Yeah.
So.
Right. Sorry to interrupt your thought.
Yeah, that's okay. You totally blew it. We'll come back to it. But what's interesting, though, is that people are who are successful generally will cheer you on. And again, like you said, they're not going to be, you know, not going to stand there and clap their hands, but they'll be encouraging.
Yeah, that's a good example. The broker, he didn't shut him down. He asked him, right? And he tried to help him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, those who aren't successful will often tell you that it can't be done. And it's really interesting that the people who are not successful will throw obstacles in your way. And that's an example of the crap pot mentality. One of the things I'd written in my notes, just to give an assignment to the listeners, just to kind of pay attention. For the next week or so, or, you know, this week, I guess, pick somebody and have a discussion with them about your goals and objectives. You know, whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, some dreamy something or other, or something more of a short term, but something that is important to you. So there's some passion behind it when you're explaining it. And pay close attention to the words that they use back to you in response. And notice if they're being encouraging, or notice if they're telling you that it's not possible, or that they're discouraging you from trying. And that will help you identify if that person is kind of a crab pot environment. Now, it's one thing if they're saying, hey, you know, you want to be a billionaire by next Christmas. That's probably not going to happen. So you want to do something that is within the realm of reasonableness. But with something that is reasonable or has got a reasonable time frame on it, watch how they respond to you and notice if they're encouraging for you or encouraging to you, or if they're the opposite. And sometimes they'll be neither. And that's the person that's just riding along on your boat, right? They're not blowing wind in your sails, and they're not at the boat anchor either.
You think they're going to do it?
I don't know. There'll be a few, you know, just like everything. There's 5 or 10% of people that'll do it. Mm-hmm. Other people go, hey, that's a really good idea. Yeah, I got to do that. And they won't do anything. So Chris, what do you do? Any ideas on what, I got a whole list of them here, but do you have any ideas on what you do if you find yourself in the crab pot environment? And it doesn't mean everybody around you, but in a certain circle of friends or associates, you realize, uh-oh, crab pot.
Yeah, I think it just as in anything, the first most important thing is the recognition. Mm-hmm. Earlier I asked you, when did you develop the ability to see who's in a boat anchor, or just even understand that concept, right? Because it's if you don't, you're just kind of drifting along, hanging out with this person or that person, and it's not necessary. It's bad being around that person. It's just if you didn't spend so much time there, you would have more time spending it with the people who will be able to help you get to your goals faster.
Yeah, I think what happened,
or just get to your goals.
I was going to say, once you have a goal identified and you're working toward it, it's much easier to spot those that are the boat anchors or in the crab pot.
Yeah, but that's if you understand that concept, or you know how to look at it, people that way.
Correct, but also
if
says
you don't. Yeah, I think most of us tend to, you know, like I was guilty. I think, you know, in the past where, you know, I would spend time here or there, or let's just say hanging out at work and right with certain coworkers, and where you didn't see, if I didn't see it or I didn't understand at the time, where I probably shouldn't have spent much time, mm-hmm. right? And then it allows you to put yourself in an environment where you're meeting more people that are like-minded that can support you in a certain way that, you know, drives you towards your goal faster.
At what point do you think you started to have that realization? Can you remember?
I think when I went to Dallas. And yeah, when what? I went to Dallas, because, you know, I'm now in a new environment.
Yep.
And I'm kind of left on my own to figure out things. And, you know, I had to just gain experience of figuring out people, right? And through trial and error, and you know, those years, then I recognized that, you know, not everyone, they're not who they seem to be at the surface, right?
Okay.
You have to spend a little time, and you have to kind of see certain things, and it allowed me to kind of read people quicker. And then it made me, you know, start to explore just kind of my environment and who's around me. And then I was more, made a more conscious effort of, you know, being around people that would either help me towards my goals, or just, you know, you find more value.
It's a positive environment.
In having that relationship, correct.
Yep.
It's a positive feeling, right? It's really...
I didn't really think about it. That's a good point. Yeah, because you specifically, right? Because you grew up in the same, you stayed close through college. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so now you're out of college, boom, you move halfway across the country. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, you might have known one or two people, but basically you don't know a soul there.
Yeah, never even met anybody really in person, right?
Well, no, actually, yeah. The one guy you did meet was the guy you bought the car from when he met you at the airport and picked you up.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So you knew the Toyota salesman.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've met a lot of different people, and you know, some were good, a lot were, you know.
Room for improvement.
You want to steer clear.
Yep.
Right.
But how long do you think it took you to figure out, and not specifically on, you know, Bob or Sam or Sue, but generally speaking, how long do you think it took you to figure out, oh, I got to figure out if this guy's worth hanging around or not?
I think it's not the length of time, but it comes with age. Okay. In the previous podcast, where I think I mentioned, remember that experience with credit cards, where I pulled, I forget, what was it? Was it debt or something where I lent money to somebody?
Yeah, remember that. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, even that was the first incident, and, you know, I had to learn more about people, right? So I went through other mistakes where, but I wouldn't say they're mistakes. It's just kind of
learning.
Yeah, just learning. Actually, you know, it wasn't really a mistake. There was another guy that, you know, it turned, we seemed very close friends when I was over there. And then all of a sudden, I haven't heard from him for a while. And then he reached out to borrow money. And, you know, something for me, it's kind of because from experience, I sniffed it out.
Yep.
And I just quickly never returned the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And ended that relationship really quickly. And so I think maybe a few years to, you know, recognize and, you know, start to be able to at least steer myself clear in the right direction.
And so hopefully, yeah, in that couple of years, it only cost you a few $100s as opposed to tens of thousands of dollars.
Correct.
Not because, yep, of loans, but just even bad choices.
Yes, and a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. Avoid a lot of drama being away from, you know, certain types of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I guess the first thing then is, so if you find that you are in a crab pot environment, first thing you got to do is get new friends. And you're going to find, as you go pursue this path of time freedom, as you get further and further down the path, you're going to find that your friends change. We've said this in other episodes. They change in one of two ways. Either they change the way they think, or they change their name. And if you've never heard me say that before, hit rewind and you hit that little button where you can backspace it or hit the rewind key for 10 seconds and listen to that again. Because people look at me sometimes when they first hear me say that. It's like they either change the way they think, or they change their name. And you got to be certain you understand what I mean by that. Some people, that goes right over their head. Next thing on the, if you find yourself in a crab pot, I would say you want to be absolutely certain that you never let the attitude of those who don't want to see you succeed, don't let that slow you down. And that's part about getting new friends. Right? So if somebody's, you know, being the obstacle for you, figure out how to make them not be the obstacle. And usually that just means you spend less time with them.
Yeah, and it comes with the understanding. If you understand that it's the crab pot mentality that's, you know, they're in, and then I think when they try to pull you into the pot, you won't go in there. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't affect you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And I don't think most of the people that are doing that, they don't know what they're doing. I don't think they even know they're doing that.
Correct.
Yeah, because that's like you said earlier, it's innate. It's, you know, we're kind of born with that. And if we didn't learn, right, to be otherwise, that's kind of the natural mindset to have. You know, when and that's something that we're guilty of it as well, right? I think it has to be learned. I mean, as a kid, you asked me about my daughter. I think most kids, you know, they don't feel happy when they see other kids have other things that they don't have.
Correct.
Right. So that's the feeling that it was already there. And so if it was never taught, then it builds on throughout life.
Correct.
And that's why Facebook is so big.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's Facebook, you know, you're online, but you know, here it's we're talking about the physical world. When you meet someone or people tell you or that person tells you about they're doing well,
mm-hmm.
right? Does that generate a positive or negative feeling for you? Right? So you have to kind of look at yourself as well. Are you part of that? And if you are, which is nothing wrong with that, but now that you understand, you probably want to change it. So again, it's for most, it's natural to feel negative when you hear somebody is doing something great or achieving some level of success, right? And you mentioned earlier that feeling it's envy. And you dig into the psychology of it. What you're feeling is you're jealous that you do not have that success. And you know, we think that success is limited and you can't achieve it, right? And in the Facebook world, people like they look at it and oh, let me see if I can one up this person, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there's that recent story of I can't remember the guy's name. The guy that was in Denver, right? And he killed his wife and two kids. And they keep going. I've read a couple of articles on there. You heard about this?
I think I did, but I forgot the details.
So without going too deep into it, but apparently this couple's married. They're in somewhere outside of Denver. And I think she's in MLM. Apparently was seemingly doing well. They had filed for bankruptcy a couple of years ago. I don't remember all the story on this, but anyway, she came home late for some meeting. And next thing you know, the next morning, her friend that had dropped her off at 2 a.m. called her to go do whatever they were going to do the next morning, and she wasn't around. And she felt something didn't feel right. Well, it ends up that I guess this whole thing is still playing out. But apparently the husband strangled the two kids and then killed the wife. I guess she was pregnant. And then he worked at a drilling field or something, Anadarko, I think, outside of Denver. But basically buried the wife and put the little girls in like oil drums or something to kind of dispose of the bodies. And they figured it out like 24 hours later. So he's sitting in jail. They're trying to figure out what to do with that. But the story, if you know, it's always not fun, but it's amusing is the wrong choice of words when you're talking about some tragic thing like that. But it's insightful, I guess, to rather than reading the news stories, to jump down to the comments. And the comments, when I sat and read it for about 3 minutes one day, they all were not unanimous, but very heavily weighted towards comments about people put their life on Facebook, and usually it's false. So they're showing all these pictures. You know, here we are on this trip, and we're, you know, everything's great and hunky dory and lovely. And the commenters were fairly unanimous in saying if it's that hunky dory on Facebook, it probably is not hunky dory. You know, normal people don't document your life on Facebook. So it's just kind of interesting. So people are seeing it.
Who was documenting their life on Facebook?
The woman who ended up being killed with her two kids.
Ah, okay. I didn't catch that part on the Facebook.
Yeah, everything is great and wonderful. Yeah, here's me, my husband and my two kids. We're at this sales trip here. We're at this vacation here. And here's our new car, new house. Blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
Yeah, so sad story.
Okay, so I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, but interesting that you know the comments of people that are following it much more closely than I am, were all making comments about how positive everything looked on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and yet underneath the covers, not that at all.
That's more the reason to not trust everything that you see online and what people report.
Well, for those of you that use Facebook a lot. Like, wake up. I don't care what you had for dinner. Chris, how often are you on Facebook? When's in the last month, how many times have you checked it?
Zero.
And me too. Absolutely no need.
Well, you don't have an account. How do you check it?
So one of the things you can do too, if you find you're in a crab pot mentality, and if you find that it's bringing you down, is grab a pen and paper or, you know, sit down in front of your keyboard and sit and write down everything that you want to get off your chest and say to those people that are bringing you down. And just let the words fly. But then when you're done with the rant, delete the file. So you don't have to show it to anybody. You don't read it to them. You don't, you know, you don't need to, they don't need to hear all the good four letter words that you named them. But what it does is it gets the negative feelings out of your own head. And the idea is not to remember them over and over and over again. The idea is to get them out of your head.
Yeah, don't do it when you're, or just before you go into bed.
Yeah, and don't send it, right? Do not put it in an email. Just open up a Word doc and just start typing. And what I found, you know, I was reading some of the stuff before. It's like, you know, different ways to do this. And what's interesting is that method works on just about anything, anytime you're hit with a flood of emotions. You know, it's what I had to do when I got the cancer diagnosis, right? We talked about it before. You know, I just had all these thoughts running through my head, and I just sat there for like 2 days and just...
You didn't write it on your Facebook wall?
Yeah, no, I did not put it on my Facebook wall. And so, but just wrote it all down. And it's cool because it got it right out of your head. And it was just, you know, jotting down the various thoughts that are running around there. And once it was out, once that flood of emotions was no longer rattling around my brain because it had come out of my fingertips onto the keyboard, the thoughts went away. I don't know how I stumbled on that, but best thing I ever did. And so if ever you find yourself with a flood of emotions through some kind of tragic event, or, you know, if someone's being a turd to you, don't put an email because you might accidentally hit send. Open up a Word doc and just start typing and get all that crap out of your head and then delete the file.
You send it by accident, it's probably no big deal.
My line to people used to be, you know, is a-hole a hyphenated word?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I think you're basically transferring negative thoughts and emotions out of your head onto whatever it is, and it doesn't, you know, that's to get rid of it.
Yep. You don't have to say it to them, and it's not to rehash. It's just get it out, and they're not worth the time anyway, so you don't need to share it with them. You don't need to.
And I think anytime you're in that those moments where you're feeling that negativity or any type of frustration or whatever, you know, if you think people are pulling you down, I think it always helps for me to kind of remind myself that I'm 100% in control.
Yes.
Of my emotions and whatever happens to me in my life. And then if I remind myself of that, and then you figure out a way to, and it tends to be more positive. Mm-hmm. You figure a way to see a certain situation, and that it doesn't affect you negatively.
Well, you hit it right on the nose. It's you have to be there's two ways to do it, right? One is that you know, think of the crab pot aspect of it. You've got voices outside of you, other people around you that are throwing negative stuff at you. And then there's also an internal crab pot, right? Where it's you have the negative voices in your head are rattling stuff around. And so whether it's a negative voice in your head or whether it's an external negative voice, you do a great job of it, you have to recognize that you are the one that's in control. And so you end up being the voice of reason. You talk to yourself because nobody else is going to control you. You let them control you.
And it's very critical, because this is the mindset you have to be successful in the stock market.
Absolutely.
It's all you. The stock market's going to take you and scrub you, right? And you scrub your face, like you said, on the floor.
Yep.
And nobody's going to be there to hug you and, you know, listen to you complain and whine.
Nope, no one.
Right? So this is the mindset you have to have, and the build of character and in your emotions. That you have to be able to control.
And it takes a while to learn how to do that. And even if you're a master of it now, there's still, you're going to learn the lesson the hard way. And there's no, you can't read a book, you can't take a pill. You got to learn it. But once you see it happen, the quicker that you can adjust that, the better off you'll be. There's a story around that. I guess there's two things, right? One is that if you're hearing, as I said before, if you're hearing bad voices, then you need to take it upon yourself to be the good voice. So don't listen to the words of others. You start talking to yourself. You want to be the good words for yourself. There's a fun story I've got about this. And I won't name her because she would be upset if I used her name. But there's a lady that I've taught to trade. Chris, you know who she is. And I absolutely adore her. I just think she's a peach. I get a real big kick out of her. And when she was learning to trade, a lot of times she didn't want to sit at home alone just going through this. She wanted to be around people, just because it's a very lonely endeavor when you're learning how to do this. And so what she would do is she would go plop down at a coffee house somewhere, you know, whether it's a Starbucks or a Pete's or whatever kind of thing like that. And sometimes she would do it at one near where she was living. And sometimes if she happened to be out running errands or doing whatever business stuff she was doing, you know, somewhere across town, didn't want to sit in traffic, she would plop down at the coffee spot. And she would sit there and open up her PC and go through charts and look at it. And I'd try and get together with her for lunch, usually once every month or two. She has told me stories where, you know, she's just sitting there minding her own business, sitting at the Starbucks or whatever, looking at the charts, and she's talking to herself. And people look at her like she's a nut job. And what she's doing is she's, you know, saying, hey, you know, Missy, you can't do this, or hey, you're doing great, just having these discussions. And I'm sure she looks just like, you know, like a schizo. But what she realizes when she does that, and she's got funny, funny stories about it, is that she's talking to the voices in her head that are either trying to bring her down, or, you know, telling her to be greedy when she should be fearful, and vice versa. And so that crab pot is not just an external crab pot. Sometimes it's an internal one.
Yeah, if you're in that coffee shop, that's one sign of to stay away.
I joke with her all the time saying, you know, I would love to be nearby when you do that, because I'm sure there are mothers that walk by with small kids and they probably hug them a little tighter when they see you right there.
Yeah.
And hear you having a discussion with yourself.
They're like, I heard this podcast. They tell you to stay away from, you know, people that are boat anchors. This one might be it.
But
drama.
Yeah, she's funny, because whenever we get together, she always go, you know, you're in my head. You're in my head. But then she'll also follow me. She'll go, yeah, but I'm in my own head too. And that's probably even worse. But what's really cool about the specific individual, and it's kind of a weird thing, because, you know, I haven't known her for years and years and years. But I don't know if the word is proud, something. Proud's the only word that comes to mind, but I'm really, really proud of her, what she did years ago, long before she met me. She knew way back when that she was choosing a different path than her friends. And she was figuring out how to get to, I don't think she knew the term then as time freedom, but basically how to get her money working for her. And we've had a lot of discussions about, you know, some of those friends were encouraging to her and some weren't encouraging, but she didn't listen, right? She just set her sights on the goal, which is freedom, and she's got to work. And all she did was just execute against her plan. And she took action despite what others might have been saying. And the result is today she's at freedom. And what's interesting is that there were friends who were maybe along for the ride, or, you know, weren't encouraging. They may or may not have been slightly discouraging, but they're not at freedom. They weren't there then, and they're not there now. And she's there. And I just think that is the coolest thing, because for a whole number of reasons. One, she was just, you know, you call it pig-headed, stubborn enough, believed in herself enough that she could do it. And, you know, you hear about there's gender bias that goes on, no argument about that. We call it a glass ceiling, whatever you want to call it. That didn't faze her. I don't know if there were environmental challenges or roadblocks. You know, there might have been cultural roadblocks, might have been maybe getting support or not getting support at home. But if she did face any resistance, she didn't let it stop her. And so it's a neat feeling when you sit down and chatter with her. You know, it's this great level of, I guess it isn't pride, it's respect and admiration for someone that did that. And it's cool to know that, you know, you have friends that have done that. And it's a really, really neat, because I've helped a lot of people do it in the stock market.
Well, you didn't get jealous of her success?
Hell no. Not a bit. Not a bit. And it's really neat to, and granted, she didn't necessarily do it, and I don't think she did in the stock market. I'm not even sure how she did it. But she didn't do it through the methods that I was teaching her. Now she's doing what I've taught her. But it's just really cool to see that mindset is present.
Yeah, so that proper mindset, right? For I mean, you just said you're happy for her, right? So that's the proper mindset to have.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no jealousy there.
Yeah. I mean, you want to congratulate that person, and you want to be very happy for him.
And I want to learn from him, right? What did she do, right? And I may not be able to learn anything other than just get an affirmation like, okay, cool. She ran into the same obstacles in here, so she got around him.
Yeah. Or I'm not 100% sure that that's who this she is, but I'm sure she probably had a lot of, or surrounds herself with pretty positive people in general, I think.
For the most part. Yeah, but we've had many discussions and say, you know, you're right. My friends are changing. Mm-hmm. And so she's seeing it, even though she was already at that spot of relative freedom. So, but the important thing is that she's learned along the way to be the voice in her own head that's talking to her. And she's listening to it.
Yeah, and sometimes she just does it out loud.
Yeah. Oh, she does. She totally does. Yeah. and you'll be sitting with her, and all of a sudden you hear this. I know. Whoa. I just had to tell myself. So it's really cool to see. And then, so it is out there, right? It's rare to find, but it is out there. The other thing you can do when you find yourself in the crab pot mentality is don't be a turd to other people. Be the absolute opposite. Be absolutely nice to them. No matter how nasty they are to you, be absolutely nice. Because if you're not careful, they'll look for the tiniest little mistake or flaw in something that you're doing, and they'll use it to try and bring you down. And the way to counter that is just to be incredibly nice, way over the top nice to them. Fun story on this one. You worked for this lady. I worked for the same lady. We won't need to name her. And when she thought that somebody was just an ass, the way she would describe that person is to say, he is a wonderful, wonderful person.
Oh, she said that a lot about me.
I don't know if she ever said that about me. But when you first met her and listened to her, you would think, oh, she's really fond of, this person who has guided her or whoever it was.
No wonder I went and seeked you, because she said you were so wonderful.
But after a while, you realize, somebody would be telling just some nasty whatever story about somebody, and they'd look at her and she'd just say, he's a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah.
And so then it got to be funny, because you'd be sitting in a meeting or something and say, so have you met, Bob or Joe or whatever? She goes, oh, yes, wonderful man. So if you're a listener, if we ever meet, if I just say, oh, yeah, I heard about you, you're a wonderful person. You look up your thesaurus, that means you're an ass. But the message on that is just be incredibly nice to people. And a lot of times that can diffuse the situation.
Yeah, or just don't argue with stupid people.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The other thing to watch out for on the crab pot is sometimes you'll run into people who, while it may seem that they're trying to pull you back down, they're actually offering you advice. And it's valid advice. And the advice could be, for example, don't pursue what you're pursuing. Right? They're encouraging you. But they're encouraging you to get onto a different path. And you see this on Shark Tank, right? Somebody will come out and they've got what they think is a great idea for business. And the sharks will love the person's attitude and go get them-ness, or, the go get them attitude and their work ethic. But they look at the business and say, this is not the right business that they want to invest in. But they want to invest in the person. And so you'll hear them, in their own way, try to encourage them to go pursue something else and then come back on. Who's the bald-headed guy? Kevin O'Leary.
O'Leary?
Yeah, he calls people a cockroach.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a put-down, and other times it's a compliment. Cockroaches have been around for millions of years, so they're survivors. Nothing wrong with being a cockroach, but you got to be in the right environment, because there's other environments where if you're a cockroach, you're going to get scrunched.
And yeah, he puts it as it is, right? He just makes it comical.
Yeah, exactly. But if you think about it, when I first heard him use the word, I'd like, what an ass, right? Mm-hmm. Why does he have to be so mean to the person? And you realize, oh no, he's actually helping him. I mean, sometimes he's doing it, he is just kind of being a turd. But other times, he's actually helping the person if they'll listen to what he's trying to say.
You know, I think most of the time, people listen to it in a negative way. Mm-hmm. But if just like go back to you're in control of your emotions and how you see it, and if you see it as a positive way, you might get something out of what he's given you.
Yes.
And if you pay attention to him, I think a lot of times he, you know, we call it constructive criticism, but I don't really think it's criticism. If you're taking it in a positive way, he's actually trying to point something out and give you advice and guidance.
Yes. Well, it goes back to what we said before. Be nice. Mm-hmm. Even if they're acting what you think is, you know, very inappropriately or very unfriendly, be incredibly nice. Because like you said, maybe that'll keep you in control of your emotions. And maybe there truly is a lesson that they're trying to give you. They're not coating it in sugar, and they're not wrapping it up in a bow with a nice wrapping paper. Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, I just thought I heard a weird beep.
Yeah, I heard one too. I didn't know. I heard it and you stopped, so I didn't. I thought you were following some cue.
I thought it was you.
So I was like, "That's you." Already told me. You said, "Whoever speaks first loses." Yeah.
So, who's going to take the next topic then?
Yeah,
loser. So next one we've got, when we talk about giving advice, we got a mutual friend who was looking to sell stuff on Amazon.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Did he ever come up to talk to you about
that? He did not. Nope. Okay. You Mr. Wonderfuled him really well, I think.
Yeah. Well, I had a conversation with him and kind of followed up and asked him about his business venture, and said he kind of scrapped it, realized it was just way too much work, wasn't making money, and there was no margin in it.
So he was trying to sell, don't name the product, but trying to sell stuff on Amazon. Buying it in China and then trying to resell it out here? Was that the idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically. And it was kind of a niche product, right? And it doesn't really matter what it is you're selling or what you're trying to do. It's just more what's your goal. And I think he didn't understand his goal at the time. And so it was just more focus on money. Let me just find a way to make money, you know, kind of earn an extra buck for a while he's learning the stock market and learning how to manage money. So
it's almost like an app.
Yeah, it's just an app, right? And let me jump into it. And I don't have any experience in it, but I'll learn along the way. And the focus the whole time was on money. There was no focus on risk and how much time and the number of years it would take. And what if I fail, right? All that stuff. Or what if it doesn't work? What adjustments do I need to make? No plan, right? And I kind of knew when it was brought up, when he brought it up, I kind of knew that it was something he just kind of jumped into. And if he approached me, I would say, hey, don't do it, and here's why. But, you know, I didn't approach him because, I didn't think, you know, he would listen. And, you know, he already didn't listen to, I think, other suggestions, or gave me some kind of feeling in the past that he wouldn't follow. Mm-hmm. So I didn't offer, but I thought, you know, he was pretty close with you and he might have asked you. I think the smart thing would say, hey, I'm planning to do this. What do you think? Right? Like, take a little bit more time to do some planning. Ask around.
Correct.
Right? Ask people who might know more than you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or they may not know more than you, but they can look at it from a...
not know more from
a different perspective.
Like, hey, I've done this.
Correct.
You know, that could be yes. You know, if you can find somebody who's done it and they're successful at it, but... like we said, success really comes from the mindset.
Yes.
And so ask somebody who has the mindset, who can kind of guide you and coach you through it. You know, if they don't know the details or the specifics, they can tell you where to go.
Yeah, or different things to think about, whether you're selling, if you're selling stuff on Amazon or whatever it might be. The person you're speaking to may not have experience doing that, but they might have a great business mind and can see some of the issues that would arise that you may not have thought of.
What were your thoughts when you first heard it?
I didn't know a thing about it. I thought, wow, that must be a huge market because that I must be just absolutely clueless. And I was like, cool, I like trading. And there's a reason why.
Yeah.
And my guess is, I think he may have discovered the reasons why I like trading.
But I mean, I think, well, for others to listen, if they're in the same situation, right, how to view that. Most of us, we talked about time freedom before, that we think we're going to go for this financial independence or time freedom, and we leave our job and we start this little small business. And then we have no idea why, right? And then we actually end up working a lot more. And then, you know, there's a high risk that the business does not succeed, right? Because we're just looking at money.
Mm-hmm.
And versus, you know, have some type of framework to start a business. I don't know where I learned it, but I think throughout the years I've recognized that, you know, you have, if you're going to start a business, typically you're going to sell something, right? A product or a service, and someone has to buy it. And so you either have to have a market for that that you're selling, or you have to be able to create a market for it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to start with that at first. And when, if I applied that to what this person is doing, the market is very small because it's a niche product and it's so competitive. Like, what are you going to do that's different? And, right? And so when you think about the product or service that you're offering, what makes you different? Why is someone going to buy from you versus someone else? You know,
and how
is it easy for someone to just come in and compete?
Correct. And will they find you? Are you mm-hmm. the only guy out there? Okay, that's one thing. But if you're one of bazillions of sources,
yeah,
why you?
And even if you're the first, well, is it yet that easy for someone to come out and step on you?
Correct. Be the cockroach.
So I think if he looked at it that way, probably wouldn't have done it.
And some of that, too, might have been, you know, if you look at that as pursuing an app, and I don't know where the idea came from, doesn't matter, but if it's, I see, I guess, ads or discussions about, hey, I'm going to start selling, just use the Amazon example, I'm going to start selling stuff on Amazon. And it's almost like there's a business out there of people teaching you how to sell stuff on Amazon. Here's how you do Facebook ads. Here's how you do SEO. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. And everybody's telling you how to do it rather than them just doing it on their own. And so
like maybe, brokers.
Yeah, kind of, kind of. So there may have been some of that where you're, you know, feeling the pressure of it's, you know, similar from the, I get this question a lot from the trading side is to say, hey, if I'm going to start trading once I'm, you know, should I set up an entity under which to trade? And my answer always is go create the tax problem first. And then you can go write a check to solve the tax problem. Either you're going to write a check to the IRS and or, you know, the state taxing authority, or you write it to an attorney who's going to set up whatever entity makes sense for you. But just understand the minute you go talk to that attorney, everything they say is going to sound great because they're selling the product. And so, you know, their objective is to take care of what you're trying to do, but understand you're going to have a little bit of a biased ear or a biased voice that's talking to you because their whole thing is to try and get you to buy. And it may be a great fit for you, that's fine, but they're still trying to get you to buy as opposed to somebody that is not selling something and can give you a perspective. That person may not be able to tell you whether you should do an LLC or a C corp or a charitable remainder trust or whatever, you know, family limited partnership, whatever other entities make sense for you. But they can talk about it from the big picture to say you might want to look at one of these and here's why. So just something to keep in mind.
So you're looking at their intention.
Yes.
In what they're trying to, I guess, share with you or offer when they offer advice or guidance, mm-hmm. what are their intentions and what's in it for them?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they have a pen and a contract right there, Not that they're not going to be honest. I don't mean it that way, but just understand they might have a little bit different motive than you do.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, you know, when I'm at most restaurants, I say, what's good? They said, everything's good. Right?
Yep.
And then you go in and you know, fix your car. There's something is, or whatever you came in for, and it's fine. And then there's always something else.
Speaking of restaurants, I don't know if I ever told the story. There's a guy who we both know. He worked for the Food Network for years, and he was traveling around the country doing, trying to sell ad space, I think, for them. And he would go to wherever he was going to, and he did a lot of client lunches and dinners. And I've had a number of meals with him, and it's interesting what he'll do when you go out to a, and you don't do this in a chain restaurant, you do it in a, you know, an individual, you got a sole proprietor or a sole location. And he'll sit down with the waiter and say, look, if this were my last time coming into this restaurant, what should I have? And I want anything. And he'll just say, you know, within this range on the page, not a price point, but, you know, somewhere between, you know, the top half, the lower half, whether he wants chicken, steak, salad, whatever it might be. And he'll say to us, like, go tell the chef to make whatever he think would be something that would be absolutely memorable for me. And he said, when I've done that, the waiters stop and they look at you and they think about it. And he said, I've had lots and lots of times where the chef will come out and say, let me tell you what we did. I gave you a little bit of this, a little bit of this. We've got some of this. I think you'll really like that. And he said, I've had some of the best meals doing it that way. And then it's not, you know, tell me what you think is good. You make me what you think is good.
He's probably not doing that anymore. He's lost a lot of weight.
No, he has. He definitely has lost. Maybe that's why he was starting to run. He might have had to run because he was putting on so many pounds.
Yeah, it worked out so well.
Yeah, exactly. I think his tailor got a little annoyed. But yeah, it's just an interesting way to different. So listeners, when next time you go out to a, you know, don't do this at Applebee's or whatever chain restaurant. You have to go to a... you know,
try it out.
Yeah, single location. Try it and see what happens. See if you like the results.
Try it at, you know, don't use, like they said, don't try it at a fast food or something.
Or don't do it at the Vietnamese restaurant because, you know, the bathrooms might be dirty, according to you.
Yeah, you said it's your last meal, they'll make it in the bathroom.
You'll never come here again.
Yeah. You say you're coming back, they may treat you better.
What do they call this? There's I've gone with you and I don't want to name his name, Kyle, one of the Kyles. Mm-hmm. And we had him on an earlier episode way back when. Sorry, so we can talk about him. But we've gone to a couple of Vietnamese restaurants where they serve the crunchy rice at the bottom of the rice cooker, or the broken rice. What do they call that?
It's just like the burnt rice, I guess.
And I laugh. I'm thinking, man, what a racket. Here, you know, it's the burnt, crispy stuff at the end of the rice cooker. They're ready to throw it out, and they charge an extra buck or two and call it a gourmet.
Yeah.
Even the guy doesn't speak Vietnamese.
White guy then in the restaurant.
No, man, you guys are the one that ordered it.
He's trying to trick you, man. Charging you a little bit more. Waitress.
I always laugh at that when they look at you and, you know, they start talking Vietnamese like, oh God, what are we going to serve Hansen now?
Yeah.
I just want what he's having. Don't give me anything unique.
Yeah, all those times you thought you were eating chicken. Yeah.
Chris, you like this. Yeah, you go first.
Yeah.
So, another fun story about, it's not so much a crab pot, but it's about the way to think. Just heard about this over the last couple of days.
Well, before you jump into that, I just wanted to touch on the kind of, you know, when you hear people or you recognize that people are pulling you down, right? I think what you want to do too, if you are aware or you find yourself in a situation where there's a lot of people always pulling you down, a lot of times you want to look in the mirror, right? And that might be you feeling that way, right? If it's true that, you know, it is people that are pulling you down, then you hang out in a different environment. But if in every environment you hang in, out at, you feel that people are pulling you down, then it's likely you. You're seeing things in a negative way, right? And that sometimes you have to evaluate yourself. And, you know, there are those that will just, you know, whatever you say or tell them, it can be viewed as negative.
So meaning that there are always, I won't say fighting you, but fighting you.
Yeah, I mean, you've met people in, you know, the community. You go to the cash flow groups. There are those that, you know, probably going to be very tough to help, right? And you know you could help them, but they listen.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they refuse to listen.
They probably see that you're negative to them.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. There's going to be those that are, you know, whatever you try to tell them, they think you're you're negative. Right? They're always going to view things in a negative way. And so, you know, hopefully, right, for you or for the listeners, you know, you're not that way. And if you're that way, you know, take a self-evaluation. Right? And that's how to change that is start looking at things in a positive way. And a lot of times, you know, there are people that will help you and they're trying to, I wouldn't say that as criticism. I'd say that it's just advice.
It's awareness.
It's awareness. It's guidance.
It's almost what you're talking about is kind of coachability,
mm-hmm.
right? How willing, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, do a self-measurement on each of us. Do a self-measurement on yourself. That's redundant. By the way, I heard a different word for redundant. It's called redundant.
Redundant.
Once you're too dumb to know, you said it already.
Yeah.
But so you do a self-assessment and look in the mirror and say, how willing am I to learn on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being high? And how willing am I to change? Again, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. And you multiply those two numbers and that product or the result is your coachability factor. And if either of those numbers are low, then your coachability number will be low. Which means then you might be viewing people that are offering to help you without saying, hey, I'm helping you. You're viewing them negatively because of your unwillingness to learn or unwillingness to change. That's kind of what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
We could name names, but we won't.
Yeah, I think it's just more that having that awareness. And when you do the self-assessment, then you recognize if you're that type where you see things negative all the time,
mm-hmm.
right? If you are, you want to start practicing seeing things in a positive way. And that way, people won't bother you. You just recognize whether there's people that you shouldn't be around and you just stay clear.
They have a different opinion and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. But
that goes back to that's why your friends will change.
Yep.
Right? Either the way they think or they change their name. So we were talking before about, you know, all the stuff we've talked about is, hey, how to see when somebody is pulling you down. Had a fun example here the last couple of days about actually pulling somebody up. We got a mutual friend, he's probably mid-40s. I don't know how old he is, but he grew up in the Midwest. He moved to Southern California 15, 20 years ago, single guy. I was talking to him this weekend, and he had gone back home over the summer. I think over 4th of July for a few days to visit family. And he was visiting an aunt and while he was there, a cousin came over that I don't believe he had seen in a few years and they had grown up together. And as they were talking, the guy that we know realized that his relative, the cousin, was actually trading, was involved in the stock market. His cousin had mentioned that, hey, you know, mindset is the most important thing in trading. And when he said this, the guy that we know just his jaw drops like, whoa, he's never heard that from anybody outside of our circle, right? Because, you know, you and I preach that. Mm-hmm. And people that we've taught, they all get it. They understand it. They're you know, basically drinking our Kool-Aid. But what was really cool, Charles was sharing, I just said his name. He was sharing that he thought he was the only one in his family that thought like he did. And he found out that here's someone who he was close to, and he didn't know that they shared a similar mindset. And when he was telling us, he said, when I first realized, he goes, it's like I almost felt like crying out of joy. He said, because no longer did he feel alone in the family, because now there's somebody that was there that had a similar mindset, but he wasn't aware that they were there. And he said, since then, they've been sharing suggestions about books to read around mindset. This guy, our friend told him about a good stock class that his cousin could attend. But I thought what was really interesting, and I don't think that our buddy realized it yet, he's thinking, man, it's really cool to find a relative that is sharing a mindset. And it actually might have been the opposite. It might have been the relative who was waiting for our friend to wake up and start thinking correctly.
Yeah, because I think you mentioned that they've had a relationship for a long time.
Yeah, and I think the guy that still lives in the Midwest has been relatively actively involved in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy we know he's at it for the last 5 or so years.
Yeah.
So, but it'd be a really interesting discussion to hear what obstacles the relative has had to overcome, right? Whether those obstacles, are coming from the family or friends or coworkers or whatever. Right. And, what were they? How did he step over them? Or did he just ignore them?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing that the two of them can talk about without even naming them. I think they know who they are.
Yeah. And it comes back to having the awareness, because he's able to recognize that hey, this guy is a wind blowing in my sail.
Yes, exactly. And then for each other.
You surround yourself more around that person.
Mm hmm. And you've got the comfort of saying, hey, and I've known this person since I was 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They grew up together. So that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, when you find people like that, you definitely can blow each other.
I get to decide if... Man, when I submit this on iTunes, I have to list whether the lyrics and the words are explicit,
oh, yeah,
or if they're clean.
Hey, blowing each other's pretty clean.
Dude, I can cut it out once. Quit. All right. So
blowing each other's sails. How's that?
All right, maybe we should redo that. We can put some jokes there. I got to think if I can cut that or if I should leave it in or not. I think, we'll leave it in. So, Chris, how do you tell the difference between somebody giving advice versus what potentially could be a crab pot mentality? Because the crabs are kind of pulling you back into the pot. Into the crab pot, and the advice givers might actually be putting a ladder on the outside for you to climb down once you reach the edge of the pot. And they're telling you how to climb up to get there, and then they got a ladder waiting there for you. And if you're ever not sure on how to tell the difference between them, I think, the crab pot mentality is probably more along the lines of, if I can't have it, then neither can you. And maybe if they're saying, I don't know, you can't or you won't, a lot of times they're scared that you will. That's a far different attitude than words that you hear from someone that is trying to give you advice on something that they think you might want to hear. And they're afraid that you will. That's a far different attitude than somebody who's giving you advice that is maybe different than what you want to hear.
I think, you have to be able to discern who, the person, I think, because you asked me, how do you tell whether that person is giving you advice or they're just pulling you down. And so, you have to know the person and you have to know their intent. Are they trying to really help you? Right? And is this person often trying to help you, or this person often, criticizing and, being negative to you? Right? Because if this person is really trying to help you, they may tell you things that you don't want to hear, and it's probably something that you should hear. Right. Because a lot of times, if you trust the person's mindset or the way they think, they probably are really trying to help you and giving you pretty good advice and guidance. And you should kind of open up and listen. And then there are those where, they're very conservative and, everything's going to fail and not work out. Right. It's not because they're trying to take you down. They're just kind of they don't have confidence in anything.
They're afraid of their own shadow.
Exactly. And so you just know that they're that way, and you know, don't listen to it. Don't take it as they're trying to pull you down either. So I think that's, you know, if you can see it that way, it should help figure out who's doing what and, you know, how to go about that. Hey, that's a crackpot example on the real estate people. You have those guys that they you know, they've been doing real estate for a long time.
Yes.
And then that you share with them why real estate is not that great compared to the stock market. And there are, you know, the majority common that would fight it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why you go, oh, dark side, and right?
Yes.
Yeah, those jokes.
Yep.
That you guys I was hearing when I first went to Cashville.
Yes.
And then you have a few that are like try to learn, but I think he fought it for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but right. Slowly, if you take a look at it, we've had lots of examples where, you know, people were very, very, very strong real estate background, strong real estate investing skills and know-how. And once they took a look at the stock market, went, oh my God, I didn't know you could do these things there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you know, they joke about it. They're coming over to the dark side.
Yeah.
I think now they're seeing that the light is on this side. The real estate is the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, our buddy Tin, he always reminds me of that, right? Where when he first met you, he heard you kept on bullshitting and all this stuff about, you're saying all this stuff about real estate's bad, blah, blah, blah. And he's one of those that are like, hey, stay away from this guy, right? That's the mindset.
He thought I was the crap. He thought I was
the crap. Yeah, he thought you were the crap.
I was a negative guy. Exactly.
Right? But that's why I said is you have to be able to distinguish, because if you think everyone's a crap pot, then you're going to dismiss the people who are trying to help you.
And now going further down that, he's been very successful in real estate and realizes the amount of work that it takes and can see that he can do much, much, much better in the stock market with much, correct, much, 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 much less work.
And it wasn't that, you know, if he talked to you, it's not like you would tell him, hey, stop doing real estate. You would say you're good at it. Continue to do it and just learn the, managing money right through the market, and eventually you won't need to do the real estate. But he said he wasted a bunch of years because he dismissed what you were telling him.
Yes.
Or he dismissed what you could have told him.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, it's also, you know, I suppose I could have a real estate zealot look me in the eye and go, hey, you are totally anti-real estate. You know, you turn it away quickly. And so I could accept the same argument back at me saying I'm not willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting. But whenever I get someone that's willing to explain it, I've never found anyone that would sway my opinion.
That's why they all come to it.
I know. They all come back to my way. They're like, oh, crap, I didn't think of it that way. They all come to my way of thinking.
Yeah. But if there's things that we don't know, guys, you know, somebody says, hey, I'm going to show you something you don't know about real estate, and here's why it's better.
I'd love to hear it.
What you got?
Yeah.
No one has really.
No.
Right? Because usually you have guys that don't understand the stock market.
I'm all about making a buck. Yeah. I don't care if it's in real estate or the stock market. I just want to make a buck and not have to work hard for it.
Yep.
And be able to scale. So if I know how to do it one time, can I do it 10 or 100 or 1,000 times? And in real estate, I have to do 10 or 100 or 1,000 times the work. In the stock market, I just push one more zero on the keyboard. There's a great saying, it's when knowing when to walk away is wisdom, and being able to walk away is courage, and walking away with your head held high is dignity. And so that...
Now drop the mic.
I think we can. I think we dropped the mic. So if you have thoughts or comments for us, we're always open and wanting to hear those. If you've got ideas for a future episode, we would love to hear it. You can leave us a voicemail at 747-24-BEACH, 747, what is the days I'm going to remember this damn number, 242-3224, I think. But you know, get on a 747 anywhere in the world, 24 hours later, you can be at any beach in the world, 747-24-BEACH. If you have something you want to send us on email, you can go to send it to investingfromthebeach@gmail.com. We've got some interesting books you can take a look through. We've got a book list. It takes you to Amazon, but I think Amazon booted me out. I don't know if I was doing... I guess I wasn't doing enough volume, so they said, well, you're no longer valid. So you can click on it, but I'm no longer make 8 cents a book. So... I'm better off picking up cans and bottles than getting off any affiliate sales off of books. So if any of you are thinking, oh, the reason he wants us to buy books is so he can make a nickel, just say no, I don't even make a nickel. So it's just it's a quick link to get you to Amazon.
Just hang out on Friday with me. I'll give you a lot of beer bottles
exactly,
or beer cans.
Exactly. But there's some stuff you can find on the website at investingfromthebeach.com. And as always, we know that if you'll put into practice what we've talked about on this as well as prior episodes, you'll get to the point where you'll have time freedom. Time freedom is a lot different than financial freedom. Financial freedom says that you've replaced the income from a job through some other endeavor. I'll use real estate as the example, and I'm going to sound like a crab pot guy on this one. A lot of times with real estate, and most of the time, it ends up taking a lot of your time. People that end up doing well in real estate oftentimes end up working for their own real estate company. The beauty about what we talk about is how to do it where you have little time at all to spend on managing your investments. And so the objective is to get to time freedom. And we signify that by being able to go to the beach on a Tuesday when there's nobody around. And you'll find that the waves sound incredibly different than they do on the weekends where everybody else is there stealing the sound from you. So our hope and belief is that if you'll do what we tell you to do, you'll see us out on the beach. Join us for a wave on a Tuesday. With that, as always, thank you for listening. We'll look forward to speaking to you next time.